Good afternoon. Today is Friday, January the 17th, 17th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Humble Bay Water District is board member. You don't have a title yet, do you?
I am board member.
Are you chair?
No. Okay. No, board member.
Okay. Proud board member, Sherry Wu. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Really? Is that like a water reference? Apparently not. This afternoon, we spent a little bit of time. Sherry was out of town, down in L.A. a couple of weeks ago at a water conference, and they were talking about drought, and I bet you they were saying things like, go north, young woman, go north. And we'll talk about some of the options that were being discussed, some of the situations that they see down in the southern part of the state, and what that might mean to us when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Sherry Wu. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Michael Joseph, found one with a normal name in our quote book. Sometime between 1897 and 1958 said, quote, authors are easy to get on with if you like children. Yeah, okay. You like the matzo ball one better, though.
I do, but you can't say that one.
Oh, I will. I need to be firing on all cylinders. But you guys can use it this weekend regularly and take full credit for it. I can't imagine anything more dry than a drought conference.
More puns. We're on it with the puns today.
I'm kind of on my upswing here.
Okay.
What kind of discussions were going on at the event that you went to in December?
Well, mostly, of course, it was a lot of Southern California folks there, and so they were just very much concerned with their shortage and what are they going to do.
What are they going to do, or who are they going to take it from?
More what they're going to do or what they're not going to do. And so, of course, the water bond was a big topic. And something that I learned, well, there's actually two things I learned. One was, you know, the deal with the twin tunnels, right, through or under the Delta, and storage. So people said, oh, I don't want the twin tunnels, but I want more storage. But those really, you can't have one without the other. You know, if you build the tunnels, you have to have water, you have to have somewhere to store it. And if you build storage, you have to have some kind of a conveyance to put water in it.
I saw a bumper sticker. I think I may have shared it with Carol when she was on, but I was thinking of your board. And it was in the Bay Area on a New Mexico plated car that said, undam the Klamath.
Okay,
a couple different levels there. There's kind of weirdness going on. But I wonder how many of those folks in the impacted area, whether it's the L.A. Basin or Southern California or however big you want to draw the area, that are those that pass all the park bond measures, those that pass all the thises and the thats, and now come to a realization that, you know what, all these things that you've been against, blah, 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 are going to be things you're going to have to be for in order for you to be able to continue to live where you are, to work as you are, to have the standard of living that you are. And it's no more philosophical or do unto somebody else. Now you've got some skin in the game.
Right.
Yeah. When drought or lakes, I guess, would be the simplest way. When those are talked about down there in these conferences, are they seen as, attaboy, way to go, yeah, we need them?
You mean like, yeah, we need more reservoirs?
Yeah. Or are they seen as environmental degradation, land grabs, all the arguments that are used against having dams in our part of the state.
Oh, well, no, I definitely heard loud and clear there that storage is the way to go. And I got to admit that seeing and being around so many people who are just crying for it definitely made me think, well, yeah, maybe okay, you know.
Yeah.
Let me I'll
You're smiling on the inside,
it.
Huh?
I'll at least consider it, you know. You better make a good case for it, though,
but
because
you
it's
think
still
about
a lot of waste.
Oh, certainly.
You know?
Yeah, and they're still probably going to be watering the lawns and doing some of that kind of stuff.
Oh, there was one woman there from, she was a, I can't remember exactly, a board member or something from Folsom Lake area. You know, they take water from Folsom Lake. And she was incensed. She showed these photographs of a, you know, even to a layperson, a very dry lake. And she said their intake is going to be hanging out in the air in, like, February, right? And then she said, and you know, we won't be able to have our nice landscaping. And that just, I mean, once she said that, I just realized, you know, we have some education here to do.
Well, or in certain areas, priorities are a little different.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, we're not homogenous. Certainly, we're not homogenous in the state.
Sure.
Okay, so if that's the high priority...
Yeah,
then
but see, that's
then
not
adjust.
My high priority, so that's why
well,
that would be...
Well, that's their district,
storage.
Though, girl. That's theirs. Yeah, and I suppose that kind of gets down to a lot of the crux of the discussions also is what's good for one district is not necessarily the same for another district, just like with school districts. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't go broad-based across the board, but how tough is it for everybody to... agree on anything if one is saying I need it for this and another saying I need it for that. Yeah, it is kind of curious that, well, or maybe Folsom Lake doesn't provide drinking water.
No, I'm sure it does.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I guess the other thing was, well, yeah, now that I think about this conference a little more, about how we live in our little happy Humboldt bubble, yes, you know, and on all the maps.
Let's just call it the bubble right now. I'm not sure about the happy this month.
Well, yeah, that's true. This month has been,
rough.
Rough, yes. But in general, when you look at climate maps, precipitation maps, impacts on forest maps, you know, our little part of the state is not bright red. It might be kind of in the warning yellow or warning orange or something, but it's not bright red critical.
Red is...
being bright red critical.
Is it for water, for fire danger? For
all of those,
okay.
especially the water.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Sherry Wu.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sherry Wu. Sherry, the conference in Southern California that you went to that was primarily focused on drought, what were some of the themes, the reoccurring themes? You mentioned the landscaping. I can't imagine that there was massive amounts saying, yes, our lawns.
Right.
But there must have been some reoccurring comments or themes that either got you smiling or got you concerned, too.
Well, I think one of the big rollout issues that they're trying to do for this coming up year, they being AQUA, ACWA, the Association of California Water Agencies.
Yeah, the phonetics on that are just beautiful.
they thought about it for a long time.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, what the big push and the big message is for this coming up year is how water is energy. And what they mean by that is it takes 20% of California's electricity use is something to do with water, whether you're pumping it. Takes water. Whether you're pumping it, treating it to drink, treating it like the wastewater before it goes out to the next town or whatever. And so
that's a
conservation message, you know.
That's interesting. See, yeah, obviously conservation's in there.
Right.
But I'm thinking of Regan and the guys in Fortuna. They're tens of yards away from not having to treat the water in a certain way, and others that are closer to the mouth have to treat it differently, and it costs them millions of dollars a year because they're within that coastal zone or the influence of the Coastal Commission, rather than just being literally a stone's throw out. Click, yeah, because what I've been told from three city managers is that the water going into the river is a higher quality than the water in the river. It's over, quote unquote, from my perspective, over-treated because it has to due to California regulatory stuff.
Right.
So it's kind of intriguing how you have these different levels and 20% of the cost. I mean, that's a big chunk.
It's a huge chunk. But that's also, you know, I was thinking about this driving over here because I knew that that was one of the messages I was supposed to, you know, like get out. Whether if I looked at my home use and if I was somehow able to parse out my energy use and how much I used for water, whether it would be 20% for me, you know, that's a state average, and I don't really know, you know.
Well, a washing machine and dishwasher and plumbing related, you know, sinks and toilets?
That's a lot of energy.
Would that count?
Yeah, because we had to pump it there. Right?
Okay.
Somebody had to get it. I mean, somehow it had to get to my house. The water in the upstairs bathrooms, you know, have to get up there. They have to be treated. The water, you know, how many pennies that, you know, it takes to treat for my specific water use.
But it is kind of an interesting concept. I wonder, I hate numbers that are rounded off.
Yeah.
20%. Now, if they said 19.78%.
You'd believe it more?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Belief in specificity.
Okay, 19%. It is actually 19%.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about one-fifth? One-fifth of California.
Yeah.
Easier to remember.
All right, 19%. I'll put that down. Now belief has just gone up just a little bit. See?
All right. That's
So how does that compare to other resources? Okay, if water is at that cost 19% of the energy. What's is that the number one use of energy in California? Is that number two? Is that number three? Was there any reference along those lines, or was it just kind of a statement thrown out?
It was just a statement that, and I think one of the things that they're trying to get out is obviously everybody, especially down there, is going to be in some kind of a conservation mode, right? So they're trying to make the conservation more
dramatic.
You want to do it even more. Put it that way, you know, because that does get into, I mean, it gets into global climate change, and you can circle the loop on that one. You know, are we having these droughts because of global climate change? Oh, but by the way, you can also reduce your water use and reduce your energy use and fossil fuel use, which is
one's
going to
balance something else.
Just kind of keep going round and round.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
so as we look at our area and the water that's up here, are we? Now, I've been told we're not in a drought here. Statewide? Yeah.
For sure.
So if the state implements drought restrictions, I know they've done it in the past, so I figure that that's a card that they would play. Does every jurisdiction have to go into play with that?
Boy, you know, I don't really know, like, legally and all that, but I know for us, what we're up to right now is we are entering into our, they call it the Water Supply Contingency Plan. And so we are entering into that right now. And what that means is the staff of Humboldt Bay Water District, and all the munis as well, they're kind of starting to do some planning and figure out, okay, well, if Ruth Lake right now is, I think, about 55% full. And so what does that mean as far as, you know, we don't have the industrial mills, you know, the pulp mills that use anymore, right? So right now we have our 10 MGD for the municipal users. How long will that last with the the reservoir at 55%? So they're kind of going through those estimates now.
KINS News and Information Time, 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sherry Wu from the Humboldt Bay Water District, and we're talking about her most exciting trip to Southern California in the drought conference. Now, wow.
It's good to leave Humboldt County once in a while. It makes you appreciate it so much.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the one thing that I get excited about when I hear folks leaving. It's a chance to go out and get new ideas. Insulated reference that we made earlier about how great and wonderful it is. Well, it also tends to lead to inbreeding, and we don't think about what's going on out there. We don't visit other places to know, geez, maybe they do have a better wheel. And we don't have to invent it. We just have to replicate it. How much networking, social networking, that's a whole different connotation. How much bar talk do you guys do when you're there at these conventions and gatherings? And what ideas did you come back from that part of the gathering?
Well, for me, I actually did have a good chance to talk with some other people. They have, at these conferences, they have another whole section where there's a large room and there's a... They call it like the vendors, right? And so I was actually able to do a little research for the company I work for to see what the competition was doing.
Kind of so like that the exhibit hall kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. To just kind of talk with them in a real low-key kind of way. But I was also able to talk in a big way about, in a substantive way, with the people that I just don't see that often. You know, we might work together, we have a meeting together, but it's very different when you have a beer together.
Yeah, it's consistently surprising to me. You say something, I say something, it triggers a different, and pretty soon we're off on a different tangent, kind of like this show. But how much information you can get from somebody else who's in a comparable situation, you get that grain and then you can apply it. To me, I have more fun, I think, talking with vendors sometimes than I do with my peers, because not only are they a net of contacts that I don't ever get into, but their knowledge within their finite area is so much deeper than anything I'll ever get to. I would think, for you guys, I don't know how much vendor interaction there is but I would imagine there's a fair amount.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
To be able to, what ideas do you guys have? And sit down, maybe you munch on their M&Ms, and you find out, oh, really? Because I would think, you come back with one idea, how many tens of thousands of dollars have you just saved?
Well, I know that one of the things I had to find out when I went down there, and I was asking around, then I finally went to the Natural Resources Committee, which is a big meeting, and asked that question, and that was, is it true that Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District is the only water district that has an approved habitat conservation plan, which is a large document? You get it approved by the agencies that says, yes, your activities are okay, as far as the fish and animals and amphibians and whatnot goes. Are we the only ones? And the answer was, yes, we are. It was amazing. Yeah.
So is that trying to get back to an economic bottom line, is that a competitive advantage for our area that we haven't been able to convert into jobs and economic stability? Is that just something that's kind of cool as a, you know, a bragging point?
No, well, it's definitely a bragging point. But also it means that, you know, business likes... they don't like uncertainty. Business likes certainty, right? And so if we know that, well, we're not going to have to keep doing all these studies and having to do lots and lots of permitting, then that's good. That's good for us.
So this actually allows businesses to be not to have as many permits? In order to be able to do some activities? I mean, how does that translate to the retailer or the manufacturer?
Right, right. Well, for instance, like any of the timber companies, right? They would have to have an HCP, Habitat Conservation Plan. They do.
Timber companies?
Yes, they do. So
now, that's kind of a nice nostalgic thing to talk about.
You remember those? I think there's a couple
still
around.
There were so many of them. Yeah. Boy, talk about times have changed.
Right. But so that would be a good example of, yes, it is much better to operate with some certainty rather than always just, well, I don't know. If we do this, is that going to be a bad thing? Or we have to shut down, you know, tomorrow?
Is that being leveraged by anybody to attract businesses here? Or do you think those economic development entities that profess to be representing our area, do they even know about that?
I don't know that it's something that it's. I think that our excess capacity of water that used to be the mills, that's what they should be touting.
Gee, you know, before I can even pop you correct yourself. That's not fair. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Sherry Wu.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sherry Wu. Sherry, what kind of plans are in place, or what's the normal thing that the Water District will do this time of the year? I mean, if it's a dry year, okay, it's going to be a little different than a wet year. I got it. Mm-hmm. But is this the time for maintenance? Is this the time for doing deferred projects? Is this the time to be paying attention? What normally happens in the first quarter for the Water District as far as what the staff does?
I think they would, you know, in any year, like you're saying, they would already be thinking about, well, what are the releases that we should be thinking about? You know, they have their programs that they go
through. Sure, make sure the dam doesn't flow over, that kind of stuff.
Right, and they're really on top of maintenance. I mean, they have a very, I don't know if I'm going to say strict, but it's very planned, well thought out, you know, that place is clean.
Regimented might be a good one.
It's regimented, but in a good way.
Well, yeah. That doesn't have to be negative. No, right. Processes sometimes are good. So this is, from a day in and day out, this is not having to put on your waders to go to work. You can put on your tennis shoes and go to work, and everything's just kind of chugging along as normal?
Well, you know, that's the thing. Since I've been on the board, I don't know that we've had a real normal year. You know, we've had, like right now, they're doing some construction in Arcata for the Intertie project so that, you know, we'll have increased reliability if and when, I don't know, earthquake or whatever should happen, that we can have different valves go and different Eureka, McKinleyville, and Arcata are involved, so we'll be able to switch water back and forth to them.
Some of the contingency stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And then we've had our Techite issues with that pipe out in the Samoa Peninsula there.
Yeah, is that one done? Is that project done?
No. We've quote, done in that we've replaced various sections when they broke. So that part is, quote, done. The replacement part is done, but not the whole reconstruction of it, no.
Is that a multi-year?
you know, once they actually start doing it, it won't be multi-year. You know, but it's been the planning and, you know, funding. One thing I have learned being on this board is that, you know, we've been really good about getting grant funding, but there's no such thing as free money. And boy, the cost
don't
of
getting
grants. Don't
you sense that at every payday?
No, because I know my payday is definitely not correct. I'm sweating for that thing.
Exactly.
No, I mean, just we've had increased costs due to, just accounting, you know, and somebody needs to keep track of all these grants and all the different receipts and invoices and, you know.
All the business side of the job.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
What's the big thing that's got you excited for this coming calendar year?
As far as Water District goes?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Your
vacation, I really
planning.
Don't care too much.
No, I don't ever take a vacation, so that would have been a boring answer anyway. let's see. Water resources planning is still kind of high on my interest and agenda. And that is, you know, we're still looking at the three options of what to do or what possibly can we do to protect our water rights and maybe get a handle on rates too.
A positive handle?
One would hope.
It was a veiled attempt at a valve reference.
See, that one did go past me.
Did it? Okay.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't that good. It's not like some of the other wonderful ones we've had so far this show. does anybody ever show up to you guys' meetings?
Yes, actually.
Non-paid, non-family.
Right. Yeah. Not school-related.
Right,
nobody
right.
writing a report at the end. Not that many. I would say a handful at the most. You know, and
should,
usually people
should
come.
There be more people from the community attending the meetings?
Yes, I think so. You know, most people just figure, well, if I turn the tap and water comes on and it's clean, I'm all good. You know, but it's usually when there's problems that people start coming. So in a way, as long as there's nobody coming, we're all happy. But I do want people to be educated.
Have you had any blowback with the rate changes, even though I know you guys aren't necessarily the mailing entity?
Right.
But you're certainly in the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten any feedback about that?
Not yet. Not in the boardroom. You know?
Outside on the street in the parking lot after the meeting. Yeah, okay. I understand that one, too. Thanks for coming by, Sherry.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Sherry Wu. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.